This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the Neanderthal staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Don't disrespect to the younger rappers. I don't want y'all to misinterpret nothing. It's cool. I don't want y'all to think I actually take time out of my day to think about it. Give a fuck what you do, man. I don't give a fuck what you do. I'm too busy staying away from them temptations and things. Plus I just bought a place and it's clean. My son is in the basement hitting on one of them drum machines, and I'ma help him make it. See, that's what making it means. After a couple million records in, I'm not Jay-Z standing next to the president.
I'm not balling like Mike Jordan. All I know is I'm about to be greater than I ever been, so I'm good. Man, I love that joint. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I must start by thanking you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to just come chill, talk to me, listen to me. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do 100% greatly appreciate that. Starting the episode this week, not doing an album anniversary or anything like that. I just been stuck on that joint. Royce da 5'9" put a new album out. Forgive me, I can't think of the name of the album right now, but it's like a greatest hits compilation. But at the very end, it has a couple of new songs, and one of them is "I'm Good," which is, you know, that clip was from. And man, I can't stop, you know, listening to that joint. I don't think I've been on a song like this since what was that Beyonce joint with DJ Khaled? Whatever, I can't think of the name of that one either. But it's been a minute since I've been on a song like this, and I'm feeling good, feeling great. How are you? Man, I gotta give you a little bit more.
After a couple million records in, I'm not Jay-Z standing next to the president. I'm not balling like Mike Jordan. All I know is I'm about to be greater than I ever been.
So I'm good.
I like to thank you.
Man, I'm good. That's how I feel right now. I feel good. This weekend has been a good weekend. Today has been an exceptional day. And I normally get nervous when I do these like unscripted episodes where I really don't have a set thing I want to talk about. But I just feel so on one right now that I think we could do it. I think we can make it through this. Like, what y'all think? I guess you don't get a vote. But anyway, please hang out with me because it gets better. Just really good spirits, really good week. Some crazy things happen, and I don't know. I guess, you know, I'm in a better headspace right now, so I'm handling them differently. I recorded a super dope conversation with two great people earlier today. It was a topic I've told you guys I want to hit about male relationships and emotional support, and I was able to get a good group together with, you know, different perspectives on the topic, and I think it came out great. You know, got to do some editing to make it professional or whatever, but it's going to be coming out really, really soon, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. I think it, you know, it'll be impactful, and you know, that's all I could hope to ever be in terms of making this show. And then after that, I got a chance to sit down and record a conversation between me and my brother from back home, and we talked for like, you know, damn near 2 hours. So I got a lot of editing to do with that one. I actually was planning to make that the episode for today. I thought I was recording that with him so I could put it out for you guys today. But it's just so much content. We covered so many different things that I feel like I need to chop it up and make it something a little more coherent. We just got to talking, you know, and I don't want to put y'all through all of that, but it's definitely some gems in there that I want to share. So that's coming. So that's where these good spirits are coming from. Also, you know, just to jump right into it, let's do the Sheffy Lease report.
Out of Pepe.
You know I am. We had a great daddy-daughter weekend. Much better than last weekend, which wasn't a bad one. You know, we just had those few issues with the experiments and the sink and all of that and the, you know, flabbergastedness. And I feel like we did better this week. One, you know, she didn't have the issues at home with her mom that prevented her from being able to watch YouTube. So, yeah, I was able to fall back, you know, to YouTube, you know, chill on the consistent parenting for 48 hours. And she got to spend a little time being educated by the TV. It sounds fucked up, but if it's sync experiments or YouTube, then I YouTube. That's what we'll do, YouTube. But we had that. Friday was like the back to school open house or whatever. So I got to go up to her school and meet her first grade teacher. And, you know, we went in there as a unit, three deep, you know. Well, four deep, including Elise, but, you know, me, her mom, and her stepdad. And again, I feel like, you know, I'm glad that we're in this space in terms of the co-parenting, because it honestly feels like most of the time, you know, like she's walking in with the advantage. Like she's got, you know, three of us, you know, and we go in there, we all care. We all have a little bit of different viewpoint on, you know, who she is as a person. I think I understand her in ways that maybe they don't. And of course, they understand her in ways that I don't, because they are with her. And, you know, and that's her mom. She knows that half of her. So, yeah, man, it was a cool time. We did that. It was a big drive for me. You know, I know. And then instead of, because normally my ex-wife will bring her to me. I think people still are nervous about, like, well, I know people are still nervous about me and the driving. So me driving all the way to Pflugerville. Yes, that's a real town. And coming back to Austin, you know, people are a little squeamish about it. I'm squeamish about it. But I had already made the drive all the way out to Pflugerville to go to her school. And it was just, all right, you know, she leaves with you and come home. So I survived that car ride. You know, had to let everybody know, hey, you know, I'm not at the gas station. So we're safe. I don't only run into things at gas stations. Only back into fences at gas stations. As long as we're not at a gas station, I got gas before I came up here. I think we're going to be cool on the ride home. And we were. Yeah, I had to make some detours. There was a lot of traffic. I was in rush hour. It was, you know, high anxiety moments for me. But we threw on the Sing 2 soundtrack. And we rocked out. You know, and it was a good time. We went grocery shopping straight from school, and Elise, I would probably, I don't know, for the most part, she has like a vegetarian diet in my mind. I think, you know, at school, and well, her mom told me she gets BLTs for lunch, so not so vegetarian, but around me, I have a difficult time getting her to eat meat, and I'm okay with that, but, you know, she'll eat rice and veggies and things like that, and okay, you know, as long as you're eating good food, you know, I'm cool. It means I got to switch up and, like, cook something different, because I ain't eating that. Like, I'm not a herbivore by any stretch of the imagination. I don't particularly like vegetables. There's maybe three or four of them that, you know, I'm cool with. And so if I can have an all meat and potatoes meal, that's me. But I'm cool with, you know, whatever my dog. I think is good for us. So cool. But we at the grocery store, and the last week when we were there, you know, we're in Texas, you know, so in the grocery store, they showing grills and steaks and stuff, and she was looking at the steak, and, you know, she seemed interested in it. I asked her, you know, if she thought she might want to try a steak, and she said yes. So I was excited about that she wanted to try something new, and that something that I could cook, you know, and sort of, rather than, you know, processed food or fast food or frozen pizza or whatever. So I was feeling good about that. And I just postponed it a week because we had already had the meals planned for that weekend. So, you know, this weekend when we're in the store, it's like, all right, let's do it. So she went with me. We picked out a steak. We picked out asparagus. We got bone-in ribeyes. We was top shelfing it. And I think I had potatoes or whatever at home. We came home, and I think I told y'all she's heavy in the Food Network. They watch that. So I've been able to get away from watching these crazy, dumbass YouTube videos that she watches. She does that by herself when she's in her room. But she's spending time with me. If we have the TV on, we get to watch Food Network. So, you know, she's crazy into that. And she wants to be involved in the cooking process. And we sat down and she helped me season the steaks and season the asparagus. And we lined it all, the asparagus all out on the tray and put that in the oven. And she, you know, she stood with me, you know, in a chair so she could see me actually cook the steak. And the crazy thing is that like she's just imitating these shows. So she's like giving me Food Network like chopped compliments as I'm cooking. Like, oh, that's a great sear, Dad. You know, I think it's, you know, she's watching me turn it and telling me when I should turn it and stuff like that. She's like, oh, look at that color. That looks great. And, oh, that's the delicious smell. You know, I was like bathing it in the, you know, garlic and butter and stuff. And it was a delicious smell. She complimented me on it. And then I finished the meal. She complimented me on my plating, that my plating was very nice. I was just getting compliments left and right. And then she told me the steak was delicious. And she was just, you know, it's moist and cooked to perfection. And I was trying not to laugh and trying not to cry because I was just like so taken back that like my daughter is eating for me, which is huge. I was a picky eater and I know it drove my mom crazy. And, you know, I was starting to see that with Elise, and that was worrying me. And then here, you know, we had this moment where, you know, she was willing to try something. We did it together and she's enjoying it and she's happy about it and she's eating it. And man, it was just a dope dad experience. Like I just have to share that with you because it was beautiful. But it was like just the Food Network commentary was hilarious. And I love her for it. But yeah, we had dinner. We baked cookies afterwards. We went upstairs, read books. It was just like, it felt like, you know, this is what fatherhood is supposed to be like. Like it was, though I miss it that I don't, you know, I'm not with her consistently, but that moment or those moments was just, you know, amazing to me. And the next day we went out, she had a birthday party to go to. So we went to Chuck E. Cheese. It was her first time going to Chuck E. Cheese. So, you know, you get to experience these first with kids, you know, and I felt like I was missing out on all the firsts because I'm not there. And then, you know, through some of the firsts, like her losing the tooth and the potty training, like I was in hospitals and rehabs and stuff. And, you know, it's just a horrible feeling. I know at one point I remember being in rehab and I'm talking to, you know, we were still married at the time. I'm talking to her mom and she's telling me, you know, they're doing the potty training thing. And she had gone to the potty and, you know, and her mom was telling her how proud of her she was. And my daughter said to her, Dad's not proud of me. And it was just like, oh, man, it was so heartbreaking because, you know, I'm in this facility, you know, hours away. I can't leave. I can't just use the phone when I want to. So there's nothing I could do about it. I got a certain amount of time. I got to be there. So it's going to be weeks before I ever get to even the opportunity to address it. And that was tough. So to be here from being there, like sometimes you have to remember that at some point, you know, you prayed for your life to be the way it is now. So, you know, when you're down about the way it is now, like you, at one point you prayed to be here. And, you know, I'm able to have those moments now. So first Chuck E. Cheese, before we went to Chuck E. Cheese, we got boba tea. So she had her first boba tea. She watches. Do y'all watch those like mukbangs or whatever? Like it's a kid's YouTube channel thing, but there's some girl, I think her name is Alicia or something like that. And she did like one of these mukbangs where she's just eating a bunch of stuff, like the ASMR stuff. And you're supposed to hear the smacking and all that. And one of the things she ate like the boba pearls by themselves. Like you could hear them like popping in her mouth. And yeah, Elise was intrigued by that. So I'm like, man, all right, we'll go get some boba tea. And she tried it and she loved it. I mean, of course she was gonna love that sweet tapioca. And that was just like the whole rest of the weekend, like just her and these boba pearls and tapioca. And she was trying to make, she thought if you like mashed all of the pearls together at some point, it would turn into tapioca pudding. So that was her goal for the rest of the weekend. didn't. I mean, you know, it didn't work out that way, but kept her busy. So I'm cool with that. But yeah, we had a good weekend. It was a great daddy-daughter time, and I felt awesome about it. And that's probably why I feel so good today. We had a good time. Bought her some shoes. Went to a birthday party, boba tea, steaks. Like, who could ask for more? Yeah, I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. I love Chef Elise.
Out of Pepe.
And proud to be. But that was cool. And then that was like the perfect, like, I don't know, segue. So before the weekend hit, before Friday, before the steaks, before all of that, I was just sitting around the house one day and I decided to turn on the TV. And I just so happened, I had no idea this show was coming on, but I just so happened to hit Food Network right in the middle of Tabitha Brown's new like cooking competition show on the Food Network. And I don't know if I've expressed this before. I love Tabitha Brown. I don't know anybody who doesn't. I take that back, because the two people I've mentioned it to, my homie that I was talking to today, my brother, and then Elise's mom, who I texted when the show was on, because I know they watch Food Network, they didn't know who she was. And I'm like, how do you not know who Tabitha Brown was? Like, I am not in any way, shape, or form vegan, vegetarian, healthy, any of those words. Like, those don't apply to me. I eat horrible things, mostly meat, and a lot of cookies and sugar and stuff like that. It's bad. I'm intermittent fasting to try to balance it out and maybe lose some weight, but I'm not, whatever. I'm not any of those things, but I love Tabitha Brown. Like, I think the first video I ever saw of her was making the carrot bacon, you know, and just the whole, like, just that, like, what is it, like that, like, so, and, you know, that's my business. Like, I love that shit. Like, she just, I was telling my homie, like, I love Tabitha Brown. He's like, man, I got to see a picture of her. I'm like, dude, it's not even on that type of time. Like, not that type of situation. Like, she seems like the coolest aunt you could ever have. It's just like, she just, yeah, I mean, who don't love Tabitha Brown? Like, and just to see the success that she's having right now is awesome. I thought her show was dope. And so I'm sitting there watching the show. I text her mom to see if they was watching the show, and they were too. And we had to quick, you know, catch her up on who Tabitha Brown is and, you know, why I'm interested in the show. And I decided to tweet, you know, because, you know, if it's not on Twitter, it didn't happen. So I tweeted out something to the effect of watching this new Tabitha Brown show on Food Network. If there's any person in the world that has any chance of getting me to consider a plant-based diet, is her. That's how I tweet that watching the show. And unbeknownst to me, the tweet, I'm going to say it's blowing up, like, in terms of how my tweets do. Like, my tweets don't go very far. But this tweet was going crazy. Like, you know, I think I'm at like 400 or so likes on it. I don't know how many retweets. It was going crazy. A couple of comments, people saying, yeah, that's facts. And, you know, stuff like that. Like, yeah, you know, she could convince me to be a better person. Like, it was stuff like that. Because it's not a serious tweet. It's not a serious subject or nothing. I'm just watching a show. I'm like, I like Tabitha Brown. And she makes me think about a healthier food lifestyle, or, you know, even approach that conversation. And so in the midst of the, you know, the whole love fest, everybody's, other people like the show, we all having a good time enjoying Tabitha Brown. This one Twitter user, and I'm not going to say the name because I'm not giving them anything. I'm not giving them any publicity, any shine. If you want to see the little brief spat we had, you can find the tweet and, you know, you can check him out if you want to. Fuck him. But, I shouldn't, but I feel like it. But basically, like, he hit back, and I don't even remember exactly what he said. Man, you know, let me look it up real quick since I'm sitting here. But it was, it started something. And if you, let me tell you this about me. I don't care about like 99.9% of things that people talk about. But if you hit that 0.1% of things that I care about, like I'm super petty. I feel like I'm a super nice person. I love people in general. I care about you. If I have something and you need it, it's yours. You know, I try to be as generous as I can because, you know, so much has been given and done to me that I feel like, you know, it's my job to help if I can help. And that's how I carry myself. I don't look for conflict. I don't like conflict. But if you engage me in conflict, I'm petty. And I am going to go, it's me and you on the treadmill, and either you getting off first, or I'm going to die on the treadmill. I've said this before, and this is absolutely the truth about me. So this dude decides to respond to my tweet about Tabitha Brown. And his response was, the collapse of the world's environments, or the disgusting abuse of farmed animals, or the exploitation of the female animal's reproductive system can't convince you. Now, let me say this. I got nothing against vegans. I got nothing against the vegan lifestyle. Like I said, I'm saying that Tabitha Brown makes me want to consider it. Tabitha Brown is so just joyous. And, you know, yeah, when you see somebody that's that happy, you know, you want to figure out why they that happy. And if it's the food, I'll try the food like that. And that's how attractive she makes veganism just based off her personality. So I have no issue with veganism or vegan. What I have an issue with, and what I think most people have an issue with, why they catch so much flack, why people make so many jokes about them, is this fucking attitude. It was a simple tweet about a television show, a happy tweet, a positive tweet, you know, and then you want to come back with a very judgmental and snide remark that all of these other things, the impact on the world's environment, and the disgusting abuse of animals and the exploitation of the female reproductive system, like all of those things should have, if I had any sort of moral compass, should have convinced me long before Tabitha Brown ever put a television show out. And it's like, you know what, now we can do this. Now we can go. And say, so I responded to him basically saying, well, if veganism turns me into a killjoy like you, then nah, fuck it. I don't want to do it. And that's the thing. And that's the point to this. I think, and we continued on for a little bit more. And I think, you know, his idea was that I was anti-veganism. I didn't care about animals. I didn't care about the environment. I didn't care about whatever. And that's nothing to do with it. I don't like you. And so if you are representing this cause right now, if your goal is to get me to be more like you, fuck that. No, I don't want to be like you because you're an asshole. You know, and it's like, if you could just be less of an asshole and still be vegan, it might be attractive to do what you do. But you make veganism look unattractive because you're an asshole. Yeah. And you don't know how to just either see something. There was nothing to disagree or agree with. It was my opinion on a show, and it was a positive opinion. You could have just scrolled past the tweet, but you decided to engage, so I got time for it. And it just reminded me of just what I see a lot, which is people who seem to care more about, who don't care about their message. Like, what this whole spat between me and him made clear to me was that this individual was not concerned with spreading veganism. If your end goal, if you care so much about the environment and about the abuse of these animals' reproductive system and all of this, you know, and the horrible treatment, if your goal is to turn people away from that, to make those situations better, then talking to them like this is completely contrary to your goal. It's never going to achieve your goal. You know? So what I get from your attitude and the way you speak and the way you approach people for no fucking reason is that you don't care about any of those things that you're trying to put out there. Any of those pompous ideas that you're trying to put out there. You just enjoy this ethical or moral high ground that you can stand on. And you just want to do that. I think you're vegan because it gives you a reason to feel better than someone else more than it does save the world. I think if everybody was trying to save the world, you wouldn't give a fuck. But somehow you feel like I'm the only one trying to save the world. And I get to tell you how bad you are. And you're turning people away. All of the jokes you hear about like vegans and their whole lifestyle is that fucking attitude. That's why nobody, I won't say nobody, that's why a lot of people don't fuck with y'all. And I say that to say, if you have a cause that you're passionate about and if you wanna change people's hearts and minds, being judgmental or being pompous or being, you know, coming at people that kind of way only puts people on the defensive. It only makes people anti you because it appears as if you're approaching them from an anti them point of view. You show me how great your point is. Tell me all of the merits of what you do and why that's great and how that could help me rather than tell me how bad I am for not being like you. If your goal is to get more people on your side of the fence, you're pushing people away from your side of the fence, which tells me you don't give a fuck about your side of the fence. That's all window dressing. You just like talking to people like that. And when you catch me on the weekend where I'm feeling good, you catch me in a moment where, you know, I feel like I was a good dad and I'm in a positive mood, I can have fun with it. It's no animosity. I think you're an asshole. I still love you. I still wish the best for you. I hope your vegan shit works out for you. I hope the world changes. But I'm going to have fun antagonizing you until you get off the treadmill. I'm going to die on the treadmill or you getting off first. That's how we're going to do. Until you change your attitude. It's not the way to talk to people. Ever. But I get that a lot. It seems like that's why I'm so against like the whole woke thing, because it seems like the goal is more to show how you're woke and other people aren't than waking people up. Because a lot of times people don't want to give you the information. They just make claims. And then when you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, well, why is that? Or what does that mean? Where did you get that from? Do your own research. You've already done it. I'm asking you. Like, you seem to be authoritative on this topic, so I'm willing to take your opinion on it. But you don't want to give me the information because now we'd be, you know, I'd be right where you are. And that's not what you're looking for. What you're looking for is a place where you get to say that, you know, look at what I know and what you don't. And I think you're proving that you don't care as much as you say you care. Because sometimes you'll make sacrifices if the goal is to get your message across. You'll humble yourself if your goal is to get your message across. If your goal is to change hearts and minds, if your goal is to move people to your side of the fence, you'll humble yourself and you approach people on their level, on their terms, if you want to try to get them to your side. And that's just a piece of advice. If you got something out there that you want, you know, that you're trying to, you got an agenda that you're trying to push, make your agenda look attractive. Don't vilify the other side. And that goes for Democrats talking to Republicans, Republicans talking to Democrats, vegans and carnivores, whatever it is your thing is, talking down to the other side or talking bad about the other side just keeps those people on that side. Just talk up about your shit. Just be happy about your shit and how great it is to be doing what you do. Like I said, Tabitha makes veganism look like fucking nirvana, paradise. You'd be like, man, if this is what carrot bacon does to you, maybe. And anybody that knows me knows that in my mind, it's not just in my mind, these are facts. The definition of the word bacon is meat from the side of a hog. Therefore, if it doesn't come from a pig, it's not bacon. Turkey bacon is an oxymoron. It's not bacon. Smoked turkey strips, call it whatever the fuck you want to call it, it's not bacon. So with a person with that kind of mindset watched a video about carrot bacon and was intrigued because the person never once made me feel bad about enjoying bacon. They just talked about how great carrot bacon was and seemed joyous while they did it. See how, see the magic trick? Fucking beautiful. I don't know. I'm off my soapbox. That's the moment I had this weekend. I had a little, I had some vegan beef this weekend, and I'm kind of disappointed that you stopped. Wish you'd say something else so I could say something else because I'm having fun. It was a highly enjoyable situation for me. No animosity. I don't hate you. I do believe you're an asshole, and I hope you get the help that you need. I hope you just figure out how to have better conversation. Just be nicer. Or just ignore shit. I don't know, dude, but fuck you for life. Anyway, let's finish this out with a question. Let's do some questions. Oh, no. It's the questions. I just picked a random one. Let's see if I'm going to stick with this. Why your girl get giddy when my name come up? All right. I can do this one. What do you miss about childhood? What do I miss about childhood? What do I miss about childhood? I miss being able to live off of potential. And when you're a kid, you have all the potential in the world, and people will give you opportunities, you know, based off your potential. Even, you know, considering, I guess when you're 18, 19, that's not childhood. But I mean, as a teenager, whatever, even as, you know, younger than that, you know, people see you as just full of potential. And you don't have to have had accomplished anything up until that point. They just know that you're capable of accomplishing things. And, you know, and people will roll the world out in front of you and say, you know, what you want to do because you seem capable of doing great things. At this point in my life, nobody gives a fuck about what you're capable of. Nobody cares about your potential. It's what have you done? You trying to get sponsorship opportunities. You trying to sell a podcast. You trying to sell a show idea. You trying to sell a t-shirt. Is, you know, show me some numbers. Show me success. You know, now one of the marketing things that a lot of these podcast platforms give you nowadays is chart information. And they'll tell you, send you an email and tell you, you know, you charted and you're this on the charts, because they know that people that wouldn't have listened to you otherwise would listen to you once you look like you're more successful than they thought you were. You know, if nobody's listening to my show, nobody will listen to my show. But if I can show you that, you know, I hit number 2 on the charts, oh, people are listening to this, well, I will listen to it too. So yeah, I miss childhood because that bar wasn't there. It was just potential. It was just, oh, you look like you're capable of doing something. Let's fuck with you. And now it's like, have you done something? No? Well, you must be a piece of shit. Fuck you. You know, like, that's, I'm sorry for the language. I did a clean show earlier today with my two guests on a more important topic. So I got a lot of pent up language in me, and I'm getting it all out tonight. But man, you know, I had a good day. Great talk with my buddy. Great talk, you know, with my fellow podcasters. And I got great content coming for you. And I want to leave with this real quick. I'm sorry, I almost forgot about this. I'm not going to go too deep into what it was or who it was, but I got like the greatest message in the world from someone who listens to the show earlier this week. And, you know, if you're listening, Rob, I just want you to know, man, it absolutely meant the world to me. People say like cliche things like, you know, if I could only mean something to one person, or if this only does something for one person, or if it makes one person happy, it's all worth it. And it's hard to like actually believe that when you're trying to do, you know, you're trying to look at sponsors and you're trying to look at, you know, success and stuff like that. But I felt like a success you know, reading that message, getting that message from you, and seeing that, you know, what I do has impacted someone, and just, if anything, you know, just help them laugh through something or help them smile through something. It just, man, that I needed that. And you don't know how much I needed that. And so as much as you, you know, were acknowledging me for what the show has been able to do for you, I want you to know there have been quite a few times where I'm not sure the show would have continued if it weren't for you and your words of encouragement and you letting me know that you enjoyed, you know, what I was doing. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means everything to me. If you want to reach out to me, anyone, if you want to tell me something positive or you want to have a vegan argument with me, let's do it. I enjoy all feedback. You can hit me at flan@whatistws.com or all social media, j.flan or whatistws. I'm on them all. You can do the personal, you can do the podcast page, whatever. I respond to shit. If you reply to my tweets, if you want beef, if you just want to say hello, I'm going to say something back. Depending on the day and whether or not I took my meds or whatever, who knows what you're going to get, but you're going to get something. I respond to everything. So holla at me. I love y'all. I just want to interact and be cool. I'm just shy. So you got to come get me. But with that being said, thank y'all for hanging out with me. I'm going to cut back the calls to action. Y'all know my boy, Zaya Fitness and, the livealphafitness.com. Hit them up. And y'all know I got merch at whatistws.com. It's still the summer of the algorithm. Coupon code algorithm. Get you 20% off your entire order. Get your shirts. I'm rocking the Don't Thank Me, Thank God right now. Shouts to Uncle Clan. You can get yours and be on the team. But until we speak again, y'all be safe. Y'all be easy. Be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, vegan or not, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.